me on the telephone and...
Thank you, and thanks everyone for participating this afternoon. We don't have too many people who have signed up in the various places, so we will proceed. I am going to ask, though, that we try to hold the testimony to about 5 minutes. I will interrupt and tell the individual that the 5 minutes has elapsed. As you are trying, as you are testifying on Senate Bill 180 and House Bill 170, please refer to that bill and the number of the citation that you're referring to, and also the page number, so that we can quickly follow. I'll first go to Sitka and Peter Haugen.
Good afternoon. My name is Peter Haugen. I'm a city attorney. I represent the city and borough of Sitka. I've been full-time city attorney the last 6 years. Sitka is a home rule unified municipality. We have a few questions concerning the restrictions on home rule powers. The first question I've got has to do with page 46 of the bill, 2920-220. And that basically has to do with the executive power being vested in a mayor. We don't have much problem with that here since we have a manager form of government. The thing that worries me is that it says the mayor is responsible for additional duties and powers prescribed by this chapter or by a home rule charter. The worry I've got about that is when you go through the rest of the chapter, you come up with the mayor having a veto power on the next page, page 47, that's section 2920-270. I also worry about a few other possible powers, such as 2920-240C, talking about the mayor not being able to vote on matters. So I know these really aren't meant to apply to home rule municipalities, but the way I see the wording in the original section, it bothers me that somebody might come along and claim that the mayor did have a veto, because it says additional duties and powers prescribed by this chapter. So that's a concern we have here.
Peter, we're confused on your testimony. The statute that we have does not have everything that you referred to. Could you go back again? And you were referring to 2920-220 on page 46.
On page 46, that's correct. On the first line, it starts out responsible for additional duties and powers prescribed by this chapter or by the home rule chart.
Okay, and then you were saying under 2920-230C or 2920-240C?
No, I'm sorry. It was 2240C, and the other one was 2920-270.
Yeah, Pete, this is Ben Grusendorf here. In your comments in relation to that section, now remember, Sitka is more or less a hybrid. What we have there in Sitka is a very strong council with a city administrator, not a city manager. Granted, there's considerable differences here, but under our charter, of course, the veto does not exist, and of course, the mayor does have a voting vote, just like the other members of the assembly. I don't know how we can tie that in with existing charters. I'm glad you brought that point up, though.
We will research.
Yeah, we will take a look at it, Pete, and see what we can figure out there that keep the charters of City and Borough Sitka and the City and Borough Juneau, and of course it might also affect the situation in Anchorage as well, which has a unified complex.
Thank you, Ben. The reason I brought this up is it's mentioned on page 30 of the bill under section 15 as being one of the sections that affects us and stops us from doing anything to the contrary, our charter notwithstanding. And that's why I want to make sure there's no question with the wording as to whether or not our mayor has a veto. He definitely does not at this point.
That was the Pete, this is Don Gilman. That was what I was going to ask was, in the Home Rule Limitations, it does include that power. So we'll make a note of that and do the research. We'll work that out, because I don't think there's any intent by the people that put this together to overrule any charter that's in existence.
Okay, thank you. I'll go on to my second matter. I've only really got three here. The second one is on page 90 of the bill, and it has to do with title to vacated areas, 2940-150. And again, this is one that's given to the cities, or the way I look at it, is imposed on the cities by the earlier provision in the bill under section paragraph 34. The way I read this is it says that if we vacate a street, we basically give the property back to the adjoining area owners without charge. That's not been the practice in Fiske. In the past, we have, unless it's been the original subdivider, we give the property back free if it's the original subdivider. But if it's been sold in the interim, we've always charged fair market value for the vacated portion of the street. And one of the reasons Fiske would not like to have to give this property away free is basically it would be a windfall to the property owners. Since they're not the original subdividers, there would be every reason in the world for them to come in and ask for streets to be vacated, since they would be getting property for free. What we're seeing here is people who do vacate streets are then ending up with lots big enough to subdivide, and we end up with two lots in many cases. Giving a lot of land away free would also greatly reduce any reason city simply had to vacate the property. Therefore, we'd probably be tempted to keep some rather marginal streets on the books.
Thank you, Pete. I think you know that's one of the policies that I supported there in Sitka, that we would not sell any or vacate any street less than 50% of the value if it was not one of the original, you know, landowners in the subdivision request. About all we can do right now is take note of that and try to make sure that we do not have that problem. Has this been added to the that section now? Is this new, Pete?
It's new under section 2910-110. They've added that under paragraph 34. So this is a new restriction on home rule municipalities.
Okay, go ahead, Pete, with the third one.
Okay, the third one is on page 119 of the bill. And let's see, that's 2945-470. This is one that has always been a restriction on home municipalities, but I think it's a problem, and we've noticed it, and it's gone to the Supreme Court in the past. It has to do with foreclosing on property for taxes, and then the city gets a deed, and then there's a one-year redemption period, and we have to send out notices saying that if you don't redeem it within the 1 year, your rights are foreclosed forever. But section 2945-470 says that basically any time in the future, 40 years in the future perhaps, that the original property owner or his assigned come in and want to buy the property back, we have to sell it to them. As a practical matter, there should be somewhere along the line a date where these rights end. I'm not looking for any free land for the city, but what we've seen in Sitka, and I think you'll find elsewhere in the state, is that there are a lot of, in Sitka's realm, we've had a fair number of old mining claims which were patented in the 20s and 30s, or even earlier, and then totally lapsed slightly before World War II or thereafter. And there have been people who have gone around looking for patented property, and then they go to the original owner and buy his interest for next to nothing, and then come in with an assignment, and we are legally obligated to give that property to the person with the assignment. In many cases, it turns out to be basically a free gift. Our taxes go back in the borough until 64, and some property we've given back to people has only had taxes of like $60 or $70 total for all those years, even when you add the penalties and interest. I think it would be a very good idea that you put in something that repurchased by the record owner be limited to a certain number of years. Earlier in the bill, you talked about a 10-year notice period to the record owner. I would think something like that should also be included in 2945-470, so that this type of what I consider abuse would not continue to happen. A few years ago, we had a fellow come in with a deed from somebody from back east purporting to be to a piece of property out here, and we felt that he got it for next to nothing because the person had no idea what his potential rights were. So I think there's a problem that there should be some sort of 10 or 15 year period put into 2945-470, which totally extinguishes the person's right. That's not to say that an assembly shouldn't be given discretion to turn it back. But what we're seeing are people's assigns come in, not the true original property owner, but somebody who's been looking for a free gift.
Yes, I could. This Senator Sturgeon-Lucey, and I appreciate your comments. Obviously, you've done a lot of review of it. I'd just be interested in kind of an overall view. What do you think of the revision, other than obviously needing to address these specific points you brought up?
Overall, I think the revision is very good. Home rule municipalities don't normally get into Title 29 that much. In fact, I prefer to stay away from it as much as possible, since I feel that the home rule municipality should be given as much leeway as possible. But the state of Alaska certainly doesn't like the federal government coming in and telling them how to do things. And we're just about as greedy here in our home rule municipality as the legislature is with the Fed. But overall, I think it's a very good revision. I've got one or two minor questions having to do with wording that would just take a minute if you wanted to go on to that.
Thank you, Pete. We're going to move on. I'm going to move to Haynes, and I'm only going to take one person from Haynes so that we won't use up all the necessary time. And the first person that I have signed up is Robert Henderson.
He's approaching the mic now.
This is Robert Henderson, HENDERSON. Haynes Borough Mayor. I have been asked by the Haynes Borough Assembly to come to this meeting to on House Bill 178, Section 29-04-30, page 1, as well as page 2, 29-04-05, poll. This has to do with the elimination of the third-class borough.
Excuse me, Mr. Henderson, this is the Juno moderator.
That's
true. Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Can you speak a little further away from the microphone? You're over-modulating a little and it's difficult to understand.
this. Is this okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. The feeling is that the third-class borough is not a legal form of government because it has no area-wide powers of planning and zoning. Yet, we find that many rural areas that are contemplating becoming an organized area do not want planning and zoning either. I have on my desk several letters from outlying rural areas today interested in a third-class borough because it does not have the powers of planning and zoning. Even in reading newspaper ads in from the South 48, I find that property is valued higher where they have no planning and zoning law. While it is not required in a third-class borough can have planning and zoning if the majority of the voters, the people in the borough, vote for that power, and then a service area also votes to have take on this local power of planning and zoning. One of the things that a third-class borough is one of the most flexible forms of government where the citizens make their decisions of what they want, what they don't want. Most of our borough now has an organized fire district because they felt the need for those districts. They can also have planning and zoning if they feel they have that need. It seems a shame that no other area can benefit from the effective form of government. No other area has a more workable form of government or more sensitive to the needs of the electorate. While the Haynes borough will have grandfather rights and can continue as a third-class borough, we feel in reality we will be forced into another form of government. If this bill is passed without the third-class borough, then we must operate under pre-existing laws, laws that cannot be changed to meet new demands. In effect, we will be in a straitjacket, unable to do anything different. New laws changing ideas will not be applicable to us. Soon we'll be forced to change in order to take advantage of new laws. It will simply be impossible to remain in a static situation. In conclusion, the Haynes borough has been a third-class borough for over 10 years. We feel it is one of the best forms of local government yet devised. It is sensitive to the wants of the people and can provide the services of the people via service districts. There is no borough in the state that has worked more smoothly and efficiently than ours. We believe it would be a real disservice to the people of rural Alaska if they were denied the right to begin their local government as a third-class borough. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Are there any questions from the panel? If not, we'll move to Sand Point, Ken Selby.
I'm here just to observe. I have no comments to find. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Selby. We'll move to Fairbanks and Dwight Foster.
No, Dwight Foster was for the teleconference just preceding this one, Mr.
No.
Chairman. James Kohler would like to talk.
That's fine. Go ahead, Mr. Kohler.
Jim Kohler, K-O-H-L-E-R, city manager with the city of Yakutat. Just wanted to make a couple of general comments. The largest task facing the committee at this point will be to go through the revisions of 29 as presented and to try to take additional legislation that might be offered. For example, the introduction of Senate Bill 544, the streamlined roads. Make sure that all of those are considered after a point in time. not contiguous with or preceding them. But after a point in time that you've been able to thoroughly digest the revisions of 29 that are being proposed. The reason I suggest that is that the revision itself does a good deal towards achieving a title, a chapter, that allows some cohesiveness and some flexibility that is going to be destroyed, literally, if it starts getting piecemeal too early. So I'm merely asking the joint committees to thoroughly digest 29 before you start getting into some specific impacts of additional legislation. The second point that I would like to make is, in view of what has been offered, there are a few items that are going to be more than sleepers. You've just heard from the representative from Haines, and obviously the proposed elimination of the third class borough is going to be a difficult item to wrestle with. I'll save some specific comments on that to a point later in your progress. The second one that also is going to be, I think, rather lively is the proposal to tie the state of Alaska, its agencies and the like, as specific section on page 92, 29.40.180. Again, it demands state compliance with local subdivision regulations. Again, I'll say some specific comments for later. My impression of your session today is simply to try to get some overall reactions to the report. Those two, again, I think can be earmarked for some further work. At this point in time, I guess I'd like to sit back, having spent a good deal of time in the draft of what you have, and listen to the reactions from around the state, and maybe reserve comments later in the day if time were allowed.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. Mr. Poehler was very faithful attending.
Thank you, Senator. We will move along now. We'll go to Bethel, Michelle Walter Smith.
My name is Michelle Walter Smith. My name is Michelle Walter Smith, Acting Study Coordinator for the ABCP Regional Government Study. It is certainly my pleasure and honor to testify on House Bill 170 and Senate Bill 180, which are now before the Joint House and Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. The Association of Village Council Presidents is very pleased to see that the state legislature is basically concerned about the need to possibly change the existing statutes within Title 29 by proposing similar bills before both houses. Our organization will generally support the concept of the proposed legislation with the thought of our organization eventually developing specific recommendations on the potential statutes during the future months. Presently we foresee that there will need to be changes made on Title 29. However, our organization is presently in the process of developing specific recommendations which will eventually impact the proposed legislation and the existing statute. The Joint Committee may be aware of the Borough Government Feasibility Study, which our association is presently sponsoring. The study, through the guidance and the recognition of an entity called the ABCP Regional Government Steering Committee, has yet to tackle the specifics of the existing law. This area will only be encountered after other sections of the study are completed, and at that time, the Joint Committee and the Executive Branch will definitely be informed on the recommendations. The process to reach this stage will have resulted in the review of our finalized documents by the village leaders and the travel to the villages during the fall in order to acquire the necessary feedback. Certainly, the scope to meet the various sections of the proposed legislation and the factors involving Title 29 may be fulfilled through our efforts. Therefore, we would have developed a better idea of establishing any proposed changes after this catalytic process has been completed. Aside from the above, there are two major issues which the Joint Committee needs cognizance on. The first involves the present and fast approaching matter on autocontinental shelf development. In our opinion, the coastal native regions are preparing for the eventual social, economic, and political impacts of OCS development. Specifically, although our area having authority under the Coastal Management Program is planning for such developments, it's certainly underfunded and underauthorized to meet the deadlines of OCS development. Certainly, the state, as generally viewed by the general population, has a lot of oil and gas royalty money. In order to meet the present crisis of OCS, our area will definitely need many more dollars, and the interim authority as an unorganized borough area to face the major issues of OCS. The money is needed for OCS issues alone, and the interim authority is needed for the purpose of planning and zoning areas involving OCS development within the unorganized boroughs. Further, our area would also need the necessary and the interim authority to work with the oil and gas industry, state, federal, and city governments, and other organizations working with the OCS development. The second issue involves a necessary attention needed by the Joint Committee. The issue entails the possibility of creating a planning service area for the unorganized areas in lieu of regional governments. This possible entity, which has been proposed from our region and has been discussed since 1975, would be utilized for one purpose. It would basically unify and influence construction of facilities and to coordinate land planning and land use for the benefit of the state and federal governments and the region's population. As any individual is aware of the present activities within this area, there is no unified planning function for and an established priority system of constructing facilities within this region from the viewpoint of federal and state governments. The unification of the two separate governments under some entity would help in consolidating the funding and construction activities within the region. As a result, we hope that the joint committees will give consideration to this issue during its deliberations on the proposed legislation. Thank you for your attention. We will certainly be working with you during the future months.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Do you have that testimony written? And if you do, would you send a copy?
Yes, I'll certainly forward a copy of this testimony to the committee.
Thank you. Senator Strzelewski?
Mr. Smith, thank you very much for your testimony. One of the things that I seriously hope you will take a look at, it is not included in the present revision, but one that I think needs consideration. If you could send us a recommendation on the possibility of going from unorganized status to home rule. Right now, this legislation provides that either from second or first class you could go. And it's very possible in a home rule charter to limit very radically the amount of services that you have. And I'd really appreciate some comments on that, not at this time, but along with the other things you've been bringing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we'll certainly forward the necessary information on
it. Okay, we'll now go to Soldatna Merlin Dimmick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee for the opportunity to testify. I'm here as Of course, I was a member of the Revision Commission. I'm also chair of Legislative Committee of Alaska Municipal League this year, as well as a member of the Continental Borough Assembly. I'd originally hoped to see action on the bill earlier this session, but that was not to be. And I'm just as a personal comment, I'm hoping that it will pass without extensive revisions. The Kenai Peninsula Borough has no, the Assembly has no official position on the bill, as it has made no effort to come up with a statement, and I have no knowledge of any position concerning the total bill by the administration of the borough either. However, the Alaska Municipal League Board of Directors has taken a position, and the most important part of that is that they have asked that the bill be passed in total without extracting portions that may receive more interest for passage in separate bills. We did find that there were a few areas which weren't substantially changed. And I think, speaking as a Revision Committee member, the reason was mainly because we didn't have the time to spend on them, or there was not as much input. One of those, for instance, is service areas. There's only really a classification added. The Municipal League Board did recommend that there might be a continuation of or formation of a committee again for further work on these areas. I personally feel that if there are items such as the deletion of the third class borough that are going to arouse a great deal of controversy, that I would like to see the bill passed as it is now, and certainly the people who are interested in that item can devise legislation that their legislators could submit at a later time and make their attempt to either reinsert third-class boroughs or perhaps come up with some other way of solving their particular regional problem. Other than that, I have no specific testimony at this time, and if I have, I would be happy to testify again if you hold other hearings or send it by mail to the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn. We'll now go to Anchorage and Alan Tetchy. Anchorage, are you there?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Alan Tetchy, and that's spelled T-E-S-C-H-E. I'm the Deputy Municipal Attorney for the Municipality of Anchorage. As I understand the purpose of the hearing today, it is to receive sort of a general impression throughout the state on the proposed Title 29 revision. And on behalf of the municipality, I would like to simply reiterate some of the comments that were made by Mayor Sullivan in a letter to the chairman of the Senate Committee and then the House Committee on April 2nd, 1981. The municipality is very supportive of the legislation, primarily for three reasons. First, the proposed legislation, we believe, would add a fair amount of flexibility to the general operations of local government in Alaska. And I think in the letter of Mayor Sullivan, several examples were cited to that effect. Secondly, the legislation would substantially reorganize and simplify existing state statutes that relate to municipal government. In particular, the section on powers and the sections relating to duties and organization of municipal government, while they haven't really changed the law, they have been substantially reorganized so people that have to work with Title 29 can understand the title a lot better. I think this is a very significant advance for the practitioner in the field that has to use Title 29 every day. A third principal feature of the legislation that makes it desirable from our standpoint is a clarification of some areas that directly impact all municipalities, including home rule municipalities. I would cite the provisions on initiatives and referenda and recall as areas where clarifications have been made, which would make it easier for municipal governments to administer these provisions. In summary, we would like to say that we are supportive of the legislation. We recognize that to a large extent, as in the case of Sitka, it does not directly apply to Anchorage except in a number of areas, but we think it is a great improvement for government, local government throughout Alaska. And at any of your future hearings or sessions, we'd be certainly willing to come forward again and offer any specific comments or answer questions that you might have at that time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. We'll now start back at Haines, and I have Louis Nelson as the next person to testify.
Yes, Mr. Nelson, is it?
I am Louis O. Nelson, L-O-U-I-S-N-E-L-S-O-N. I represent strictly myself. I have lived in Haines since 1966, and I've followed the government here quite closely. I've worked on some different committees at different times, and I agree with Mr. Henderson that this government, third-class borough, has worked very efficiently, and to very much the liking of the local people. We have had several elections trying for more government, change of government, and it has always been voted down in favor of our third-class borough. I'm referring specifically to Senate Bill number 180 and House Bill number 170. Under page 1, section 2904030, where it states that no other municipality or no other area of Alaska could become a third-class borough. I am definitely opposed to this, in that we feel here in this area that, as I've just mentioned, that a third-class borough works very efficiently, and small communities like Tope and other small communities of only very few people would be put under a harness if they were forced into a home rule or a second or first-class borough. The next item is page 3, under transition B, 2904050, which states that we cannot have any changes in our present borough system. In other words, the laws that are as of now would be permanent. This is just like putting a man or a community into a shackle, because we feel that we will want to progress as time goes on, and we should have the right to administer and pass through the state, have the state Senate and the House pass more laws in favor of changes that this community may like. So those are the two items that I am very much interested in, and I know that I speak for a lot of people in the Haines area. And I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henderson. We'll go to Nome and Ivan Widom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the rest of the committee members. I want to tell you that I'm aware of all the work that has been doing regarding this. I attended one of your meetings in, I think it was in Fairbanks, and I know that you put a lot of effort into the Title 29 revision. However, I do have something that I've been bringing to your attention for quite some time now. I wrote a letter on September the 22nd. I wrote another letter on March the 23rd explaining one of my major concerns with Title 29 and the use of it out in the field. As the attorney from Anchorage said, many times those of us in the field are not attorneys, and it depends on the city manager or city clerk, someone who's really not in tune with what's going on legally, to interpret what's coming out of Title 29. Specifically on page 45, Article 3, Borough Executive and Administrator, I'm reading from my letter of March 23rd. This is section 29.20.220A. It seems to refer only to boroughs. However, there are also references to other municipalities. Then on the next page, 46, under section 29.20.230, there's a reference to first class city. And I wonder how this is going to be interpreted by someone in a city who's not really familiar with it. It's coming through the index, they're going to see borough executive and administrator, and they're not going to realize that further on in the paragraphs below that, that there are concerns regarding the, or items are mentioned regarding the city, first and second class cities. Since I've written these letters before, and I'm bringing it to your attention again, I was wondering if this is something that I just personally feel that's going to be ignored, or is it something that you are going to consider at some time in the near future?
I have been, I think I understand what you're saying, and you're saying that there is a difference. We're not differentiating enough between the difference of a city that may have a mayor and a city manager as opposed to an elected executive as we might know it in the borough. Is that correct?
Yes. If you look in Article 3, talks about borough executive and administrator, and then further down it talks about first and second class cities. And someone that's looking through the Title 29 will not be able to find the first and second class city because it's not mentioned in the title.
We will, I'm sure that we can clean that up, and I do remember getting your letter and have written on my notes, or did have my notes to check for that letter, so we will try to address that. We might work out the language, send it to you for a comment.
Okay, thank you. I'll reserve my other comments regarding more specific items at a later date, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you very much. We'll now go to Fairbanks and Michael Woleri.
Mr. Chairman, before Michael talks, I would like to let you know that we do have a latecomer, Richard Haven, which is not on Jello.
I'm not sure what you meant by on Jello, but I have him down. Michael Woleri.
Yes, my name is Michael Wallery, W-A-L-L-E-R-I, and I'm with Tenenbaum Chiefs Conference, and again, we understand the intent of this committee hearing is to just generally gather general impressions as to the action of Title 29 code revision. Well, generally, the revision is a good job of technical revision of current state law. We would like to reserve the right to submit at a later time written testimony regarding the possibility of the legislature dealing with the broader issues involved as some cases been submitted in separate pieces of legislation, as we think that the municipal code revision should deal with those broader issues of local government, which relate to the unorganized borough and the existence of a number of IRA and traditional councils in the rural areas of the state. Specifically, we are concerned that the municipal code revision should incorporate Senate Bill 341 and should deal with that issue, which deals with the recognition and cooperation of the state of Alaska with Native governments. This is an issue which we have spoken out on several times, and we wish again at this time to point out that it's quite common, and matter of fact, most Western states some sort of mechanism like this, and we wish to direct the attention of the committee in its deliberation to the results of Department of Community and Regional Affairs Symposium on the Unorganized Borough and resulting papers, which in which several of those papers, as a matter of fact, addressed the issue. There was a recommendation made by the department's consultants to address this issue. And we simply wish to direct the committee's attention to those, to that work product. In general, we also have concern over the existence of a number of bills currently before the legislature, and would like to see the legislature deal with the general issue of the unorganized borough in the context of the municipal code revision. Specifically, there have been a number of suggestions over the years dealing with the possibility of creation of service areas in the unorganized borough for planning purposes, for other purposes. Senate Bills 544, 350, and 240 all address these subjects. And we would encourage the committee to, in its deliberations on the municipal code, to address these issues. In the unorganized borough, there's been a lack of government. It may be good and may be bad, but we think that these issues should be addressed by the committee. In one particular instance, on page one of Senate Bill 180, we are concerned with regards to the reference to continuation of land planning powers in the Department of Natural Resources. We would like to again point out a report prepared by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, prepared by Victor Fisher, in which he indicated that at the time of the Constitutional Convention, that it was considered that these types of powers would be vested in other organizations, in other agencies, rather than the Department of Natural Resources. We would like to direct the committee's attention to Mr. Fisher's observation and his recommendation that it would probably be more appropriate to vest that power in another state agency. Whether or not that it really should be a state agency, or whether those functions should be performed by some local service area, is, of course, a matter which we would reserve opinion on, certainly be contained in our written comments directly to the committee. Finally, we would like to applaud the work of the Municipal Code Revision Group in the adoption of a rather flexible approach to local planning powers. Adoption of general notions of land use regulation rather than zoning and planning powers specifically. Those are contained in the 29.10.010 and the following section. This represents benefit to smaller communities which do not have the resources and capability of supporting large planning staff, and generally allow them to provide for orderly development in their communities. And the committee's work in that area should be applauded. Again, I'd like to finish by simply saying that Town our chiefs will be submitting written testimony and look forward to the interim work of the committee in dealing with the municipal code revision.
Thank you, Michael. I would ask you that if you have any, you kept referring in your testimony to the fact that you were going to submit some further information dealing with the broader issue. I would ask you to send that as soon as possible, because that is one of the tasks that we are going to work on during the interim, is to look at the Senate bills 344, I think it's 544, and 350 and 240, and see if we can't pick out from those some direction to go in the unorganized borough, and recognizing that that's a heck of a lot easier said than done. So if you have some ideas generated around those three bills, please send them to us as soon as possible. Senator Strzelczewski?
Hi, Mike, I just want to make a point. In the cover letter that we sent, when these bills were introduced, we identified those areas that are of a good deal of controversy, but certainly a great deal of importance, and a number of them deal with rural Alaska. I would, and it's going to have to be a policy decision of the individual committee as to whether they would handle some of those controversial items as separate legislation or attempt to incorporate them in the current revision of Title 29. We're very careful to limit those pretty carefully. I guess what I would like to know is, not only your information on ways to go, and certainly you've had a lot of input to the committee, and you've made that information available to Senator Gilman, and certainly came up to Representative Dugendorf too, but I'd like to know your analysis of the bill itself. All the way through, as I recall, you really had not too many comments negative as to what we did do. I think it's important to know whether or not you feel anything in the bill itself would be inimical to the areas, as things now exist, without, say, new legislation to tackle some of those difficult questions in the unorganized world.
Well, I guess the best way to respond to that, I guess, would be to simply say that to the extent that the home rule boroughs feel that they are benefited by not having Title 29 applicable to them, we can say very much the same thing, although we perceive that as somewhat of a disadvantage in our discussion. I made that quite clear. Our biggest concern was that Title 29 remained flexible. Of course, as the minority report, Senator Parr indicated, there seems to be a general view that the code was made much more intelligible, and that it provided much more flexibility to existing municipalities. Our biggest concern, frankly, is that a number of issues which we view as pressing in rural Alaska have simply not been addressed by the Municipal Code of Vision, and those issues are causing continual problems on a day-to-day basis with not only our government, but also with the state government in its efforts to implement any development activity out in the rural areas of the state. And to the extent that the failure of the municipal code to address those issues, I guess we both stand to lose a great deal. And to that extent, that is our primary concern, with wishing that the broader issues actually be addressed in a meaningful and real way.
Thank you, Mike. We are going to move on. We have two or three people left. I'm going to move now to Bethel Nancy Craning.
Thank you. The city of Bethel has, on behalf of the council and on behalf of city manager Mayor Hoffman, would like to recommend that at this time we feel there have been numerous changes in Title 29, and that our only recommendation is that quite possibly CRNA could hold workshops, informative workshops, in the different regions to provide an opportunity for the people in the region to respond and to address some of the issues on the unorganized borough. And that's our only comment, and thank you.
Yes, Nancy, the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs is in the audience, and she did hear your remarks. We will go on to back to Haynes and Leo Lands. Is there anyone at Haynes? Is it Mr. Lands?
This is Haynes. Mr. Land is not worth to testify, but Louise Homestead would like to testify. He's just representing himself.
You would have to give us the name again. It didn't come in very clear. Would you have him say his name and spell it for us, please?
It's Louise Homestead. H-O-M-S-T-A-D.
Could you have her proceed, please?
I lived in Alaska over 30 years, and in Haynes, I've been here 5 years, and I'm very interested in this third-class borough that we have. am I speaking plain enough?
You come through loud and clear.
Okay. Page 3, transition B. 290405O. And House Bill 170, Senate Bill 180, where we would be, the laws would be permanent, and I'm not in favor of that at all. We want to be able to change, as the times change, we should be able to change our laws accordingly to whatever our needs are at that particular time. We don't want to be limited, that we wouldn't be able to change our laws. Okay, then the other is page 1, 290403O. We feel that other areas should be able to have a third class if they wish. And we're very satisfied with this. It's working out very good. We feel that we have freedom and flexibility, and that we'd like to keep it this way because it is of the people, by the people, and for the people, which it should be. And we feel very satisfied with that. So we are in hope that we can keep it a third class borough. We wouldn't want to have a second or a first class. I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now go back to Fairbanks, and if I have not left anyone out, I believe that the next person will be the last person to testify today, Richard Haven.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The name is Richard Haven, N-A-V-I-N. I'm representing the Planning Department of Fairbanks North Star Borough. Currently reiterating a number of comments that have already been made. Essentially, we have addressed the Chapter 40 addressing planning, platting, and land use. I'd like to applaud the efforts of the committee that drew all of this together and accomplished something that proves, or will appear to prove, flexible enough to allow communities with group disparity in size to function efficiently without any kind of a synthetic structure imposed for all conditions. Just congratulations are in order.
Go ahead, Dan.
You haven't read House Bill 31 yet.
Indeed, we have read House Bill 31. We're now addressing the Senate Bill 180 and House Bill 170.
This is Representative Van Gusendorf. I just threw that in there as a comment. I'm glad you did read it.
Does that end your testimony, Mr. Nader?
I'd like to close the testimony. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for being short with that. If there are no other persons to testify, and if I haven't left anyone out, then we would call this teleconference to end. Senator Strzelczewski?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you heard, but the attorney from Sitka, I thought, had a couple of general comments, and somehow he went on to another one. I wonder if he is still there.
Also, Mr. Chairman, this is Bethel. We have someone that would like to ask a question also.
Yes, Bethel, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Barbara Albert with KYUK, and I would just like to ask something just for my own clarification. Did either of the committees or did the rewrite committee have the option of dealing with the question of being organized for or not, or was it was the mandate to strictly deal with existing law?
I don't think that they had a mandate that they could not deal with anything outside of existing law, but I think it was the committee's choice that they dealt primarily with consolidation of some of the confusing areas of Title 29 and tried to put them all into one, topically put things into one section where you could go to one section and find, for instance, all of the information on the tax laws or all the information on land law, rather than having to search through two or three sections of the Title 29. I would ask Senator Strzelczewski to elaborate on that since you were chairman of that committee, but essentially isn't that right, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it is correct. We were, of course, had a horrendous task, if you can see just from the size of the bill. And we made an early decision that we would basically deal with badly needed changes to the title, and then that we would submit a letter to the full legislature of those areas of major concern. As I'm sure you'll recall, in the earlier sessions of the legislature, there had been a joint committee, and at that time I chaired the Community and Regional Affairs. We did extensive work. Those proposals, although introduced, did not receive legislative action. There was a further work being done, or there is further work being done, by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs dealing with the unorganized borough. So partially the choice was to address the very badly needed changes in Title 29, and also the time constraints really did not allow to get into those areas. But I think they're before the legislature. I think that the if we do changes now in the cutoff of federal funds, both those that go directly to areas of rural Alaska in a grant program and those that come through the state, I think this whole issue of a structure in the unorganized borough is going to become increasingly critical, and I think some very hard decisions are going to have to be made, and I would assume that it's a matter before the current Community and Regional Affairs Committee.
Ma'am, could we have your last name for the record? Would you spell it, please?
Yes, and thank you for your thorough comments. Barbara Albert, A-L-B-E-R-T. Thank you.
Thank you. Was Mr. Haldeman still at Sitka?
Yes, sir, I am. I just had three very quick little comments here, if you wish to listen to.
Nobody has left yet. Go ahead, proceed.
Oh, okay, on page 62, having to do with powers of initiative and referendum, which Alan Teshi mentioned on Anchorage. This new section here, I think, is one of the real strengths of the bill. I noticed that home rule municipalities have to follow section 29-26-100, but the way it's written, I don't believe it makes home rule municipalities follow all the procedures that you've got in there. I don't know if it's your intention to impose these procedures on home rule municipalities.
I think you've got a very good set of procedures. My only question is whether you, in your drafting process, intended to impose them on home rule municipalities or just meant 29, 26, 100 itself rather than the rest of the article be mandatory for home rule.
We will check that out with the drafter and also the notes from the committee and see what the intent was.
Okay, the second thing I've got is on page 77, that's 29, 35, 170. And my only comment there is I'm wondering if you're wishing to tie in all of 29, 45 as mandatory on home rule powers, home rule municipalities. Because on page 77, it says home rule municipality shall assess and collect property tax subject to AS 2945. And 2945 covers a huge amount of territory. And I would suggest that for practical purposes, so that people can understand what's up, that drafters actually put in the relevant sections, unless they do mean to include all of 2945.
Okay, that's a good point, and we will check that. And that's precisely what we're trying to look for today, is some of those kind of glitches.
Okay, my final one is on page 99, and this may be a dumb question. It's 29.45.050, talks about optional exemptions or exclusions from residential property tax. It says an exclusion or exemption authorized by this section may not exceed $10,000 for any one resident. My question is that $10,000, $10,000 worth of taxes or $10,000 worth of value?
Yeah, that's a good question. That had been caught before. And $10,000 with the assessment is what it intends to be.
Okay, thank you. Those were the only other things I had to say. I'm quite happy with the revisions, but again, as I said earlier, Sitka greatly prefers to be left alone as much as possible.
We've got that message from several communities today. Thank you very much. And if there are no other persons within the conference area, we would adjourn the meeting.
Senator Gilman, this is Phil Dottner.
Yes, this is Phil Dottner. Proceed.
Mel would like to make another statement.
Quickly.
This will be a quickly. Since you had so little testimony, I thought perhaps this might be a good time to mention the one thing in here that I personally feel there may be a problem with. And specifically, this is in section 29.35.210, number 8. And it allows a borough to exercise a power of that relates to extending grant funds. I feel that this really shouldn't be in here, or it should be clarified that it is a power that is within the powers they are already exercising.
You're referring to page 79, item 8, where it says a second-class borough may by ordinance exercise the following powers on a non-area-wide basis, and that's receive and expend grants for public purpose?
Yes, that's correct.
And your point is that public purpose must have been assumed by the methods that are prescribed throughout in other sections of the bill, such as vote or being given to it by legislature?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And I think that just by leaving that out, there could be some confusion, and that should be added to clarify it.
Thank you. We will now adjourn. We sent this notice to how many people?
So,
we sent headed to every teleconference and asked them to put out their through their network, you know, whatever it is.
Doesn't sound like you're too many problems.
Too damn big a bill. You're ready about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Oh, hot.
I'm taking it.
It was hot.